This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. And welcome to Lessons in Fiqh. We're still studying the chapter that deals with the manners of answering the calls of nature. And the following hadith will be read by Mustafa, please.
Narrated by Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Whoever goes to relieve himself, he must conceal himself."
Again, this hadith falls in line with the previous hadiths we've read and we talked about. We discussed the issues related to them and how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself used to conceal himself whenever he answered the call of nature. He used to go as far as possible until he disappeared from the sight of his companions. And likewise, one should do the same thing. At least he should choose, if he can, to be isolated, concealed from the sight and hearing of others. This is not possible when you are in public toilets, because it's shared by others, so you can only conceal yourself visibly, that is, visually. No one can see you. But hearing you, then this is not in your hand or command. So it's okay, it's permissible. But if you can go as far as possible, then this is also recommended. The following hadith,
narrated by Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came out from al-gha'it, meaning place of answering the call of nature, he used to say ghufranak, which means, O Allah, grant me your forgiveness.
Now this hadith again tells us there's another supplication. Let's see. Mustafa, do you remember what should we say, what we should say whenever we enter the bathrooms?
We should say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubthi wal-khabath.
Is there any addition?
Bismillah.
Bismillah. One should say Bismillah. Of course, it's not one hadith. Don't get things mixed up. Bismillah is a hadith, and A'udhu billahi min khubthi wal khaba'ith is another hadith. But whenever we go in, we should apply both. One, Bismillah, to protect our awra from being seen by jinn. And one would say, so what would happen if it were to be seen by jinn? We don't want to get any bad things that they may cause us, or at least by giving us evil eye. And even if they would not harm us, no one would like others to see his private parts. Even if you do not see them, you don't want them to see you. A'udhu billahi min khubthi wal khaba'ith. Of course, this is a supplication you say when you enter. Now, this hadith tells us what you say when you exit after answering the call of nature, after revealing yourself. What do you say? You say, ghufranak. Allah, I seek your forgiveness. I ask you for your forgiveness. And why is that? Simply because, scholars say, because Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed you by getting all these poisonous stuff and rotted material from your body, so your body becomes healthy. Because if they stay in your body, this would cause you to fall ill and die. So it's a blessing of Allah Azza wa Jal that He has relieved you from these poisonous materials. Likewise, when you exit the toilet, you keep this in your mind by showing your gratitude to Allah Azza wa Jal. And you pray to Allah, O Allah, similarly, as you have relieved my body from these poisonous matters and materials that would have killed me, so I ask you, I pray to you that you forgive my sins that may cause for my punishment and torture in hellfire. So it's a similar thing almost, that you show your gratitude to Allah in every single thing. Likewise, if you see someone who's ill or who is being tested by Allah Azza wa Jal, whether by poverty or in his health, Allah Azza wa Jal is testing him. So the Prophet tells us, alayhi wasalam, that we should supplicate and say, Alhamdulillah, all praise be to Allah Azza wa Jal, Alladhi aafani mimma abtalahu bih, the one, Allah Azza wa Jal, who has cured me, who has saved me from being tested as he's being tested at the moment. وَفَضَّلَنِي عَلَىٰ كَثِيرٍ مِّمَّا خَلَقَ تَفْضِيلًا, and made me better than a lot of his creatures. And this is the fact. If you see someone that has a cold, and you are healthy and don't have this cold, you say, Alhamdulillah, الَّذِي عَفَانِي, and Allah Azza wa Jal made me better than him because I'm healthier than he is. But if you have a cold and someone else is unable to walk, he's paralyzed, you say, Alhamdulillah, الَّذِي عَفَانِي, I can walk, although I'm sick, but I can walk, he can't. And if you're paralyzed, but you see someone that is completely paralyzed from neck down, then you say, Alhamdulillah, okay, I can't walk, but I have my hands to move and so on. And if you see someone that is even worse than this, if a person is completely paralyzed, he is grateful that Allah Azza wa Jal has granted him Islam. Allah Azza wa Jal granted him this blessing to say, Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah. This by itself is a blessing of Allah, because you are in this shell, you are in this body for a maximum of 60 to 70 years. This is the average. The Prophet says, alayhi wasalam, our lives, the lives of my ummah, my nation, my followers, their ages ranges between 60 and 70. And seldomly, rarely, people pass this age, 70. And this is true. So this is the average. How long are you going to stay on this earth? Between 60 to 70 years. And then what? It's eternity. Whether in heaven or in hell. And we are planning and targeting heavens, inshallah. And Allah, with His grace, will grant us what we work hard and what we wish and hope in achieving. Therefore, you find that all our lives are governed by supplications. When we enter the bathrooms, when we go out of the bathrooms, when we wake up in the morning, when we ride our cars or whatever means of transportation, when we exit the houses, when we enter our houses, before we eat, after we eat, before we intercourse, and so on and on and on, before we enter a mosque, after exiting a mosque, all of these supplications are made to connect you with Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, compare someone that is always singing and chanting in his mind, and someone that is always supplicating and making dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. I know a lot of people that listen to music 24 hours a day. The minute they are in their cars, they turn on the CD, put on a cassette, turn on the FM music, and they enjoy their lives, so they think. But if anything wrong happens to the CD player, they can't even drive. They can't go for 10, 15 minutes without listening to something, because they're already brainwashed, and the devil, Satan, has already controlled them. So without the music, without the beat, they cannot live. Now, if anything were to happen to this man, God forbid, and any person listening to hard rock, heavy metal, rap music, R&B, whatever. The lyrics he's listening to, they're filthy. They're not honorable. They don't tell you to do good things. It tells you to fornicate, it tells you to kill, it tells you to beat, it tells you to swear, say bad words. And that is why the F, the four-letter word is quite popular on people's mouths. They always use it, whatever they do. Now, if this person, though he's a Muslim, though he prays, but because he's 24 hours under the influence of these lyrics and this type of music, if this person were to have an accident, you know, an 18-wheeler coming towards him, and he's driving, and it's inevitable, it's going to hit him, and he's going to die, what do you expect him to say? La ilaha illallah, ya hayyu ya qayyum, bi rahmatika astaghith. Would you expect him to supplicate, or would you expect him to swear and say, what the, you know, and start swearing and cursing, and he would die on this case and this in this situation. While the other fellow who used to supplicate in every single thing he does, when he goes out of the house, when he sits in his car, when he intercourses with his wife, when he enters the bathroom, comes out of the bathroom, in every single thing, even when he wears a new a dress or new clothes, when he puts on a shirt or wears trousers, there's a supplication to say that. When he looks at himself in the mirror, there's a supplication that he says that. Every single thing. If this person were to be in the same situation of the brothers who was just hit by a hit-and-run 18-wheeler, what do you think he would say once it comes to him? Immediately, the only thing that jumps to his mind is dhikr Allah Azza wa Jal. The least he would say is, Ya Allah, which means I seek refuge in you. So if he dies, he goes straight to heaven. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam gave us the good tiding that if a dying person, his final words were, La ilaha illallah, there is no God but Allah worthy of being worshipped, then he will enter paradise. So compare this brother who spent his life watching movies, listening to music, trying to be a westernized person, and ended by being unable to say La ilaha illallah. Isn't it a shame? Isn't it a waste of time? All of this, these years passed by for nothing? Because whatever ends, whatever situation your life ends in, this is the situation you will face Allah with. So if you sinned for 60 years, and the final year you've been a good guy, then and you died doing good things, Allah will forgive you. But the opposite is true. If you worship Allah 60 years, and the final year you made sins like hell, and you died doing them, then Allah Azza wa Jal will punish you for that. And it's the choice is yours, whether to be a person that remembers Allah and make dhikr all the time, or to be a person that enjoys himself for a short period of time and then being punished for a very, very long time. We have a short break, so please stay tuned and we will be right back, inshallah.
You have questions that bother you. What about issues of concern to you? Would you like to share things on your mind with us? Are you interested in solutions based on an Islamic perspective? Please join me live in Meet Your Advisor every Friday at 9 p.m. Mecca time here on Huda TV.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah and welcome back. We move on from the hadith of Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, to the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud. And of course, you all know who Ibn Mas'ud is. So please, the brother.
Narrated by Ibn Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went out to answer the call of nature and asked me to bring three stones. I found two stones, but did not find the third one. So I took a dried piece of dung and brought it to him. He took the two stones and threw away the dung and said, This is a filthy thing. This hadith was reported by Bukhari. Ahmad and Dharqutni have the addition, bring me something other than dung.
Okay. Now, what's the first name of Ibn Mas'ud?
Abdullah.
Abdullah Ibn Mas'ud. And usually, take this as a rule of thumb. Whenever you find in the Sahih of Bukhari a chain of men, and then at the end it says, An Abdullah, the Prophet said so and so and so. Whenever you find the name Abdullah alone, you pinpoint it and say, this is Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Because there are so many Abdullah ibn so and so. But the Bukhari, whenever he mentions Abdullah, then this is Ibn Mas'ud. Who else do we have in, from the companions that have the name of Abdullah? Mustafa?
Abdullah ibn Umar.
Abdullah ibn Umar ibn?
Ibn Khattab.
Ibn Khattab. Fadi?
Oh, I want to say that.
Well, pick another one. There are more than three, four of them.
Abdullah ibn Rawaha?
Abdullah ibn Rawaha. He was the poet of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet had three poets. One of them is Abdullah ibn Rawaha, Hassan ibn Thabit, Ka'b ibn Malik. Okay, Brother Muhammad?
Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As.
Excellent. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. Now let's move on to the cousin of the Prophet, the very well-known cousin of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Brother Zaki.
Cousin.
His name is Abdullah. One of the great narrators of
Hadith. Abdullah ibn Abbas.
Yes, Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma. His father is the uncle of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he narrated a lot of hadiths of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who else?
Abdullah ibn Zubair ibn al-Awwam.
Abdullah ibn Zubair ibn al-Awwam. He is one of the greatest companions of the Prophet alayhi salam. He was one of the first newborn to be born in Islam. His father was Zubair ibn al-Awwam, one of the great 10 that were giving the good tidings of the Prophet alayhi salam to be in paradise. And his grandmother was the aunt of the Prophet alayhi salam. Zubair ibn al-Awwam's mother was the aunt of the Prophet alayhi salam. Do you know her name? You don't know her name. This is a big problem. You should study your history.
Maimuna?
No, Maimuna was the wife of the Prophet alayhi salam. Safiya. Safiya was the aunt of the Prophet alayhi salam. And Abdullah ibn Zubair's mother was the sister-in-law of the Prophet. She was Asma bint Abi Bakr, that in the Taqain. So we have a full range of companions that are related, and each and every one of them has stories, you know, to fill books with. You can learn from their generosity, from their bravery, from their honesty, integrity, and from their love to our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was known to be the servant of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, one among so many. And he was known to be the one that usually carries the leather container for the Prophet to perform ablution. He used to be called Sahib al-Wudu. And this guy was thin. And I mean thin. Once the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam asked him to get him something from a tree. So he climbed the tree. And the minute he climbed the tree, the companions looked at his legs and they started laughing. You know, they were really toothpicks. They were really like, you know, acoustics. It's very thin. And so they started mocking and laughing. Look at his legs. It's just too thin. So the Prophet ﷺ looked at them and said, are you wondering of the thinness of his legs? By God, they are heavier than the Mount of Uhud at the side of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So the Prophet is always correcting us, telling us, do not be deceived by the looks. Always look in the inner things. Don't be impressed by things that everybody else is impressed with. Look in the inner of the human being. Look at originally what is the weight at the side of Allah. And eventually, this proved to be true, of course, because the Prophet said it, alayhi salatu wasalam, on the battle of Badr, where the head of the mushrikeen, the head of the non-believers, the enemies of Allah, was beheaded by this shepherd, by this young, thin, small companion of the Prophet, alayhi salam, by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And when they describe to us how he beheaded him, it tells us that Abdullah came and saw Abu Jahl lying on the ground, and he climbed his chest. You know, saying that climbed his chest gives you the impression that Abu Jahl was a mountain and this midget came up and climbed his chest and then beheaded him. Nevertheless, never mind. Going back to the hadith, Ibn Mas'ud, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, may Allah be pleased with him. We should study our ancestors. We should know them. We should know who their friends were. We should know who their parents were. We should know how they lived, how they breathed, how they communicated, because they are the milestone that we should follow. We benchmark them by trying to imitate whatever they do, because they are the perfect generation. Of course, no one is perfect except the Prophet alayhi salam, but still we try to imitate whatever good they had, and they had all the good that was in the world. So in this hadith, it tells us that Ibn Mas'ud tells us that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed him to bring him 3 stones because he wanted to answer the call of nature. So he went and found only 2 stones and a dry piece of dung, which was of a donkey. So he brought it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, thinking that it's all dry, it's all hard substance, so it should do. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam rejected this dry piece of dung and told him that this is filth, it's not pure, which means that you may not clean yourself with an impure substance. It has to be pure in order for it to purify you, which means that if a person uses a toilet paper to wipe himself and then wants to use the same area that he used, which is used and it's filthy, it's not even clean or acceptable. But if somebody says, well, I have nothing else to use, I'm going to use it, we say it does not clean, it's not permissible. Why? Because it's filthy. So whatever is filthy cannot be used to remove filth or the impurities when one defecates or answers the call of nature. The following hadith is to be read by Brother Muhammad.
Narrated by Abu Hurairah, may Allah be pleased with him, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbid us to use a bone or dunk for istinja, which means cleaning the private parts, and said these 2 things do not purify.
Okay, now we've gone through this before, but maybe to elaborate a bit, we may not use dung and we may not use bones. And the Prophet justified this alayhi salatu wasalam by saying that dung is the crops and the things that the animals of jinn consume and eat. And the bones, whatever bones that have been, the name of Allah has been mentioned on, these are the food of our brethren, the jinn. So they may not be used. Some scholars say there is another reason. Bones are known to have a very soft surface. So if you try to clean with them, nothing sticks to them. So you do not clean. You may need to wipe like 50 or 60 times to get the area cleaned. And that is why it's not accepted. So if you bring any substance that has a soft surface and you wipe with it and it, the filth and the dirt does not go out, then this is not possible for you to use. You should use something with rough surface, such as stones, wood, clothing, piece of cloth, toilet papers, and so on. The following hadith.
Narrated by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Beware of smearing yourself with urine, because it is the main cause of punishment in the grave."
Now, this hadith was narrated by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him. It talks about protecting yourself from the sprinkles of urine. Protecting yourself from getting the smears of urine on your clothing. And this is very easy to understand once we know that the first thing one is going to be questioned about on the Day of Judgment is, Fadi?
Again,
you missed. Don't miss. The first thing that one would be questioned about on the Day of Judgment is?
Prayer.
Though, there is another hadith where the Prophet says, as-salam, the first thing to be judged between people on the Day of Judgment is in blood. And the meaning of blood is that when people kill each other, so they're going to be judged accordingly. So how do we join between these two hadiths, if you recall? Do we say one was abrogated or throw one? No, we can join by saying that individually, on individual basis, the first thing that one will be questioned about is prayer. On community basis, on one-to-one basis, the first thing one is going to be judged over is the blood, if he killed someone, if he was killed by someone. Now, when we come to this hadith, it clearly states that one should be careful about when he is urinating, that nothing comes back to him, that nothing rebounds and stains his clothes or falls on his clothes, because then if he prays, his prayer would not be acceptable because it is filthy, it's najis. And it tells us that there are people that are being punished in the grave, and the punishment in the grave is not strictly for Muslims, but it's for everyone. I'm afraid that this is all the time we have for today's program, and until we meet next time, في أمان الله والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.